Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's episode of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete is brought to you by No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow. Go to www.facebook.com/No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow for details about when they're playing next. It's an in-the-round folk experience with Callahan Solabello, the Yayas, and Karen Oliver. Go see them. They're playing lots of places. Okay, time for Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete, number 168.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
Johnny and the Mothers are playing something at the Savoy in Vermont tonight.
Grandma's gonna kill my brother at the Savoy Theater tonight.
I didn't say that.
No, but I know this grapevine.
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
Hello there, and welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete, episode number 168. Coming to you live from Comac, New York, and Bayside, New York. It is time for the Ready to Unload New York Sports Talk podcast. It is Thursday night. It is March 13th. It is 10 p.m. Hi. Hello. I'm one of your hosts, Steve Sampietro, the aforementioned Sam Pete. This is episode number 168 of the podcast. We have done this 167 times. This is 168. And as we come to you live from Comac, New York, and Bayside, New York, which is in Queens, by the way, the county of Queens, the borough of Queens, it's in New York City. We don't know if I can hear Cal. I cannot. You call in. Yeah, I can hear you on the iPad, but not so much on the Skype. Okay, Cal's going to call into the show. So that was perhaps his worst introduction ever. But welcome to the program. We have a lot to talk about: NFL free agency, the Jets, the Giants making moves. I mean, it's been incredible. The NFL has done a great job. They gave you 3 days where they, you know, allowed teams to talk to their free agents, and then they dropped the hammer on you at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, and all heck fire breaks loose on Tuesday, I should say. So we're going to talk about that for sure. Then we're going to talk about the Mets and some interesting stuff going on in spring training down in Port St. Lucie with the media, and with John Neese saying today that the media needs to stop tweeting what's going on in the clubhouse. And there appears to be a rift between the Mets and their beat writers, and something's going on, and it's going to be super interesting. So we're going to talk about the Mets, and also why we're still looking at Ruben Tejada at shortstop. We're going to talk about that too, because that's super frustrating. So we have a lot to cover, and then Cal's St. John's Red Storm, my University of Dayton Flyers, go Flyers go, our bubble teams for the NCAA tournament. That's the only way we'll talk about the NCAA tournament. And then I have a really fun load, which I think we might even have the Bishop for. So there's a ton to get to on episode number 168. Gosh, that was radio-y. Let's bring in the co-host of the program. Gosh, I'm a robot.
Kel.
Nope, that's a robot. Never mind. He's the co-host of the program. His name is first in the title, though. He's very important. He's Mr. Brian Calneva Calpino Caliente. Hi, Bri.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Wow. Well, are you in the field?
I'm out in the field. I'm filing a report for RTU Sports.
This is like when. Yes, this is like when Jon Stewart, like you're doing, like on The Daily Show, like when you're actually doing a remote, but you're 4 feet away from me.
Right. All right.
And we're making it sound that way. Are you?
Well, no. I've called in. I'm calling you through a phone, through a mobile device. So that's what you hear.
Right.
Is the quality not good enough?
It's fine. It's not great. I mean, we'll make do. I wonder how it's. I don't know what happened. We were talking. We were having a lovely conversation. We were on Skype. And then all of a sudden, everything stopped working.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to bring in.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened either. But this guy is here. So we are also live from Freehold, New Jersey. So, Cal, while I bring... Wow, my voice cracked there. So, Cal, when I Peter... While I Peter Brady it, and I speak to the bishop, why don't you reload Skype?
Yeah, I've done that. Try it again.
Let me try you again. Hi, Peach.
Welcome to Ready to Reload.
Welcome to Ready to Upload. Ready to Download. How are you, Peach?
I'm just absolutely flipping fantastic.
You sound good. You sound good.
I am. The adrenaline is pumping because my children are still awake.
Oh, nice.
Spent the last 15 minutes screaming. The importance of going to bed. Yes.
Excellent. Cal, I've now called you back on Skype. Cal, are you there?
There's no... That's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
Plug the Skype into the UVU.
Right.
I just can't seem to get this to work.
Unfortunately, I mean, we were talking, Cal. We were having a high old time, a grand old time.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. Technology.
Did you do something to your microphone, that fancy orange microphone of yours?
I didn't do anything.
Gentlemen, this is the 25th anniversary of the World Wide Web.
Yes, it is.
You guys are blowing into it.
That was yesterday.
And this is how we're celebrating.
On day two of the World Wide Web, there were a lot of problems, and that's what we're celebrating today, the day after.
That's what it is.
Right. We're commemorating day two, where crap fell apart everywhere.
Cal's on the Atari 800XL with his 2400 baud modem.
Correct. I'm on a Commodore. I'm on a Commodore 64.
He's taking 90 minutes to download one photo, and it's coming in sideways.
That's right.
And he doesn't know how to stop it.
It's going to take you another 90 minutes to get it horizontal.
That's right. Oh, who hit landscape? Did you hit landscape? Damn it.
Oh, man. That's going to be like a month. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. A bagel, the paper, maybe go to the library. I'm going to come back. Should be done.
Let me ask
something.
Can you remember what your first dalliance with the World Wide Web was and what year it was?
I can.
Can you tell me?
Oh, you want
can you share it or no?
You want me to answer right now?
You want to just write it on a piece of paper, fold it, and hand it to me? What do you want to do?
Safe for work?
I just slid it across the table to PJ. I wrote it on a note card and slowly slid it across the table face down. 1992, University of Dayton.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, one guy on my freshman year, one guy on my floor, Colin, had a computer. A pretty powerful one for the time. It was the size, roughly the size of a Honda, and not a small Honda either. And he had,
like the Odyssey?
He had, right, that's right.
Not the compact Hondas.
Correct. It wasn't a Civic or a CRX. And he had Prodigy.
Yeah.
And he was hooked up with a phone line. Like, he hooked up to the phone line and had dial-up. And he had Prodigy. And my dad had Prodigy as well. So my dad...
So he spoke to your dad?
No, I sent an email to my dad.
Oh.
From his Prodigy account in 1992.
Oh, mind-blowing.
Yeah. And then we got AOL. We got AOL shortly thereafter.
We were called down the hallway. It was 1990 in college. Called down the hallway to this guy's computer, and he was going to amaze us. And what he downloaded was a Cindy Crawford picture of the like one of the famous Cindy Crawford posters. And it was, you know, so it was already on somebody's wall, but it was like, oh, my God, look at it. Now it's on a computer. That's amazing. And it took like 10 minutes for the picture to come in.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all just mesmerized. I can't believe it. It's in color. I can't believe it. I can't.
You might as well have launched a space shuttle at that point.
Right. That's what it felt like we were doing. And then somebody else could play cards.
Right. That's and then of course solitaire, of course, which was huge. Like being able to play solitaire, huge. I mean I've had my AOL address for a really long time. I probably got my AOL address like junior year of college. No, it had to be freshman year of college.
Right.
Because it's Sanpete 4, and that was my number in baseball. My freshman year at Dayton. So, long time with the World Wide Webs.
And that's when they were limiting you to 8 letters or 8 characters, weren't they?
I think so.
You had to get crafty.
Yep. I think so. And there was already a Sanpete 1. And so I took 4. Like, I just put in Sanpete, and somebody had that. I never found out who.
Let's do a web search.
Let's do a web search. There is an exact... I'm friends with him on Facebook. We're not related. His name is Steve Sanpietro.
So is Cal back? Because I want to know Cal's web memory, too. Or is he not there?
He is... he's not... it's not coming in for some inexplicable reason.
It's not.
Should
be
working
he's
now.
Doing.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Yeah, now it's...
We did it.
I don't know. I don't
Fantastic.
Even know what I did.
He's back.
I went on AOL, and I downloaded the instructions to this microphone.
See Cal frantically searching for the disk for Skype.
It just took like an hour to download the directions on how to...
Did you print them up on your dot matrix printer? With the feeder paper?
Right, with the feeder paper. And the... Which
that
always
sounds
like
a car alarm.
It was. The sprocket things always got, like, jammed up. Like, you had to get the...
If you didn't line them up perfectly,
right.
Enough kegs.
Because it was old-school computer paper, so you had to get it right on the wheel.
And you'd have to have this enormous box underneath your printer just filled with paper that was spooling through.
Exactly. What was your first...
How about this?
Your first
the morning
web.
Your paper's due, you print out your paper last minute because it's due, and then you go to rip off the sides, and the perforation doesn't rip, and you rip like 3 pages of the paper you just printed out. You got to tape it back together in a hurry.
Hey, we wrote those papers in college without, like, Wikipedia, without anything.
You had to use a book.
I was lucky I spell-checked. I'll be honest with you. A lot of us
wrote those things without graphic interfaces. You had to just use, like, Word Perfect, where it was just a blinking cursor.
Yep. I wrote an entire paper on Nixon. This was for my minor in history, by the way.
Mm.
And it was like I had to write a thesis paper, and I chose Nixon's foreign policy. and how he basically the thesis was really I went to a very difficult school, but the thesis was you know, just about his foreign policy, you know, 20 years later or whatever, and how it actually was revolutionary, blah blah blah. It was like 50-60 pages.
Wow.
I didn't even read the thing. Didn't even read it. Did not even read it.
Just rattled it off and said, go.
Just fired it off. I read, like, chunks. Like, I would read, like, 12 pages and then fall asleep and be like, yeah, this is not great.
And how'd you do?
Gotta be. All right. I have a minor in history from the University of Dayton.
Terrific. Yeah.
Because of your minor achievements.
That's right.
You're one of my most minor students, Mr. San Pietro. I'd like to give you a minor grade.
It's a solid B, I feel like. I feel like it was a solid B.
You didn't read the thing. How could you know it was solid?
Somebody else read it.
All right.
You'd like
it based on
so,
their reaction.
The TAs in college didn't read the papers either.
No.
Based they on were, their reaction.
They were skimming.
I had somebody sit there and read it, and I watched them.
You watched their faces, they read your paper.
That's right. That's how I proofread a paper. They would make like a disgusted face, be like, oh, all right, it's a run-on sentence. You don't have to, gee whiz, I can fix that.
Police.
Yeah, I'll fight
Shoot
it.
Me, why don't you?
Gee whiz.
So Cal, what was your first web?
So my first web experience was through the Suffolk County Library System.
That's right.
Before it was even, there were even images. It was all text. And I would connect through suffolk.lib.ny.us.
Back.
Wow.
.xyz.
He remembers the address.
.pdq.
I do remember that one, yeah. And this was about, I would say, 1994, behind the times a little bit. And I would go on to a listserv. Remember the listservs?
Of course.
Yeah, and I don't remember what the Met one was, but I used to go on a Met listserv.
Nice.
And just read all of these people that were posting about the Mets, and I thought it was the greatest thing.
Well, it was.
At the time.
It remains. Maybe not as much right now.
But that was it. And then it wasn't until I was until I went to St. John's the next year that I started getting involved in, like, browsing the web.
Right.
So I was a little bit behind, mm-hmm. behind in the game in 95.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to fathom where we were, like, even 10 years ago. Like, even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the technology and the leap that it's made is astounding. And for us with sports, I mean, we're doing a podcast right now, live. I'm looking at Cal. We're streaming this out to whoever wants to listen. You know, tomorrow it'll be on iTunes for however many people to listen
What's
to.
What's iTunes?
It really is astounding. Like, four years ago when we started this show, we couldn't do this.
That's true.
No.
And still, I feel like we've abandoned the dot matrix people. We should have it available for printout.
Absolutely.
The transcript?
For the dot matrix people. Because they're still out there.
How would we distribute that, though?
Well,
snail mail.
Put it on a bulletin board.
Right.
Remember the old internet bulletin boards?
That's right.
I do. That's wow. Oh my goodness.
But
right?
Yeah,
you go on Prodigy and you'd find a bulletin board.
Yep. That's right.
I remember when I worked in the city in 1998. I worked for IBM and we were doing public relations for their brand new revolutionary product that they worked with Sun Microsystems called Java.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, it was like, what the hell is this, Java? It's crazy. It's 98.
Were you saying Mr. Loverman?
Oh, yeah.
Java!
Sorry. Java Chamberlain.
Yeah, I can't resist.
I know.
I just... 1998, yeah, JavaScript. Yeah.
Java. It was great. It was crazy. This technology that they were going to revolutionize everything.
Yeah. I know it was making its way around UFACE and stuff in the last few weeks. It was about like 2 months ago. There was that great clip of Brian Gumbel and like on the Today Show, and they were talking about this new thing called the internet or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it's a complete period piece. It's unbelievable.
I can't remember exactly what he was saying, but he was so adamant about something that was completely wrong.
Right.
And I can't remember what it was.
Was it the information superhighway?
Maybe.
It was something about email. Like, we're going to send this via something called email. And it was like, oh, but you can't type on that. It was something like he was insistent on
That's
the
right.
fact that you couldn't do something. And
you
it was like
type on it or something like
I
that.
I can't remember what it was.
It was great. It was making the rounds for a while, and I had watched it. It was really fascinating. So here we are. 25 years later. Can you give us a rough estimate of how much porn you've ingested in that time, Peach, or is that just is that off the charts?
Well, very, very early on, you know, that used to be transmitted by email.
Right.
I used to have some friends, in quotes, who would send out email batches of pictures, and then you know, websites slowly became available. But you know, beyond that, I have no knowledge.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you had to measure it,
I parted with that very quickly.
What would be the unit of measurement? Like, if you asked, how could you measure how much you've consumed? What would be the unit of measurement? Like megabytes?
Shame sickles? I'm not sure.
Yeah. RAM.
That's too graphic.
That was too easy. All right, let's get to the – are you going to hang around for a while, Peach?
A little bit, yeah, sure.
All right, because I have a great fun load.
Oh,
unless you do, and we gotta be like a tight hour 15 tonight because I'm solo with the children.
How low are you?
Well, get right
you
on
guys,
it. Get right on
have
it.
Have you guys ever seen Mr. Have you ever seen Mr. Mom like recently? Have you watched Mr. Mom recently?
No.
No. No.
Really?
I'm going to now.
Go back and watch, because it really holds up well, I think.
Even the Terry Gar scenes?
Even the Terry, especially the Terry Gar scenes. How do you like that?
Mm.
Gillian Anderson? No.
No.
What's her name?
Which one?
We've done this on the show before. We did about 2.5 years ago. We tried to remember who Gillian, what's her name, from We Got It Made.
Oh, Terry
Angelian.
No, not We Got It Made.
Angelian.
Angelian, thank you.
Angelian. No, you know, it's,
the hotel, they're waitresses. It's a living.
They later became Making a Living for no reason.
Making a Living, right. With the guy with the perm who plays the lounge singer.
Right.
Right.
Magnificent. Anyway, Mr. Mom, tonight I had the complete meltdown. Like, last night I was alone with him. Everything was fine. Smooth night, smooth sailing. Tonight, I know nobody wants to hear about your kids, but I had epic meltdown. It was amazing. It was just amazing. It was as if the two boys had conspired together at some point this afternoon while I was at work to be like, all right, here's what we're going to do. You crap your pants twice. Okay. The first time, he's going to totally wig out. I'm going to start crying a lot. Maybe crying in a way that he's never even heard before, like a new cry, like something like maybe that he's going to think I invented just for the occasion.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to do that the first time, right? Then he's going to bathe you in all this stuff. I'm going to pretend to be going to sleep, too. Because, by the way, the 7-month-old is the ringleader here, without a doubt.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah. I picture him like in the Bugs Bunny cartoons. Like, he's got a cigar, he's got like a 5 o'clock shadow. while he's doing this, but he's a baby. And he's like, okay, then after he's trying to put me to sleep, I'm going to cry a lot.
Well,
way more than usual. You crap your pants again.
Oh.
Yeah, do it again. Do it again.
Wow.
And then he's really going to lose it. And then I'll just refuse to go to sleep. And we'll have all this going on at one time. Let's see what happens. And the older one's like, sounds good to me. Hey, look, I'm always up for some hijinks. Let's do this.
That's when you got to throw him a curveball. That's when you crap your pants and ask them to do something about it. That'll put a stop to the whole thing. They'll just be looking at each other like, did he just?
Wait,
wow,
wait,
we got
to
back out of the room.
Happen? What do we do now? Quick.
Wesley slowly backs out of the room.
He bails on him. You're on your own.
Right.
I'm out.
Well done, old man. Well done.
Well played. I did not see that coming. That's right. I got to turn the tables. You're absolutely right.
You got to turn the tables.
I'll tell you. Again, I know nobody wants to hear about your kids, but it was definitely a moment of where does
I'm telling you. Look,
the
when
older,
it's been out
the
of control
one,
like that, you got to whip out the unexpected behavior. It'll stop them. Like there have been times where I couldn't get anything, you know, going, and I'll just start dancing in the kitchen, and that'll stop them.
That's it. Yeah, these two guys, I think there's gonna be some major hijinks, major shenanigans. I'm in for.
Yeah.
Is tomorrow when you throw the obstacle course to your wife's boss? Is that tomorrow?
Who bears a striking resemblance to Martin Mull, I might add.
Her boss?
Yes, right.
Wow.
No, he doesn't. I'm telling you guys, go back and watch that movie. Some tremendous lines. Keaton at really, really in a great place, doing John Hughes.
Yeah.
And that movie's dated, no doubt. Of course, we'll save that for the special podcast. Dated or not dated? An RTU special report.
You joke, but...
No, we're doing it.
We're doing it.
We just have to get Ev.
Right.
So it's dated, but it's kind of cool. It's like, you know, he works for the car industry and you know, Detroit is down and it's, you know...
Is that gung-ho?
He was... No, he does another one.
Oh, he does it in that one, too?
Yeah, well, gung-ho is Mr. Mom without the kids. That's all.
That's right. That's right. No, he loses his job. He's an engineer for a car company or whatever.
That's
and
right.
She has to go back to work. And it's like a very interesting time in America, coming out of the recession, coming out of Carter. And but he's got some tremendous lines. Tremendous lines.
It must have been hard to be a professional woman during that era.
Absolutely.
What with all the skirt chasing.
Well, there's a great scene where Terry Garr, it's her first day back, like, in that world, after years of being a stay-at-home mom. And as they're having this board meeting with, like, 15 people around, she starts cleaning up.
Right.
She starts, like, picking up after them. You know, and it's really cliched, and it's really, you know, but it's a good movie. But I had that moment.
Had the shoulder pads arrived yet? Was it that late in the 80s?
They could do some heavy hitting. They could hit the sleds immediately with the shoulder pads that are in that movie.
That had to be, what, 82, 83?
83, I think.
Uh-huh.
I saw it. I think I might have saw that in the theater. Might have seen that in the theater is a better way to say that. Not sure. It also, Pete, you bring up the shoulder pads, which is a great call. It's also the... super short haircut for a woman in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not Terry Garr, but the other. No. There were other women.
No, the other female who's intimidated by Terry Garr, who's the complete career woman.
Is that Sheena Easton?
It is. It might as well be.
That's who I see.
Same haircut.
Yeah, that's who I'm seeing.
Yeah. That, like, if you were a professional woman at that time who didn't care about kids and a family, that's the haircut you got. I think it's the one they gave you. Like right after you were hired.
That's standard issue.
Right. They had Vidal Sassoon standing by to give you that haircut. He was very busy. He was everywhere, that guy.
And the smart business suits,
that's right. Which PJ described for us perfectly last week.
Yes.
I was listening back to that. It is a perfect description of what a smart business suit is. It's literally perfect.
It's not sexy, but it still looks expensive and clean.
That's right. Printed.
They wore a lot of makeup, too.
A lot of makeup.
A lot of lipstick. Yes. A lot of bright red lipstick in the office.
Yes, kind of because they didn't feel good about the hair, but they were going with it anyway.
Guys, we're talking about the internet 25 years. Think about how people dress in the workplace now as opposed to Mr. Mom is, about 30 years ago.
Right.
I mean,
my place has a single dress code. It's no torn pants.
I don't have a dress code, but I work in a very small, I work for a very small company, a very small office. But even when I worked at a law firm, like a pretty big law firm in New York, there was, and this was 10 years ago, there was inappropriate. Women were wearing stuff that, oh, man, come on. You would have worn that. You would have, no chance you would have worn that. No chance.
No.
It's changed quite a bit, what you can get away with.
Hmm.
Anyway, we should talk about sports.
Shut your mouth.
They're talking sports. I'm ready to unload. It's time for the big unload. Unload, unload, unload.
Kicks down a door.
It's the big unload. There's reverb. It's here somewhere. Hit the reverb button, please. Delay, delay, delay.
We just burst through an RTU Sports banner and then stopped and folded our arms and looked menacingly at the camera.
Boomer and Carton could not have more cliched posters all over this town.
Yep.
For their new show on, the TV show, the simulcast on, what is it, CBS Sports or something? It could not be more cliched. Could not be, all they need is a flaming microphone.
Flaming microphone.
It is awful. They're pointing at you. Why are they pointing at me? Why are you pointing at me? What did I do?
Are they smiling at any of them or no?
Well, Boomer's smiling at some of them, but Carton's not.
No.
But why are they pointing at me, Cal?
They're angry.
But I, what did I do?
They're talking sports with but attitude.
It's not my fault. It's unbelievable. Why are you pointing at me?
Hey, listen, go hard or go home when talking sports.
Yeah, we're not going to, we're neither going hard nor going home.
We're home.
We're at home.
And, nothing...
and there's really not that much to go hard about.
I was looking forward to a nice, easy night.
Just a nice. I got a cup of coffee. I got a thing of water.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to have a piece of cake when we're done. Nice. I'm going to treat myself.
Just relax. I got my sweats on.
I may go Calgon. Take me away. Anyway, the big unload has got to be NFL free agency, though. It's got to be. Been dying to talk to you about it, Cal. We've been talking about it on in our chat room or whatever. It's been very interesting because the Jet fan, we'll talk Jets and Giants. I do want to talk about the Giants too because they did some interesting things, I think, Bri. But I want to lead off with this. Is there a smarter, savvier league than the NFL? So they change the free agency deal to the 3 days before, starting on March 8th, you can talk to free agents, but nobody gets to know.
Right.
And then on March 11th at 4 p.m., the big reveal.
things that have already been agreed to can just kind of like right out of the gate.
It just hit you.
Like start announcing things left and right.
They set that 4 p.m. deadline. It was like, it was a free-for-all. It was like bacchanalia. It was insane. Twitter broke.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a smarter league, Cal? Seriously, can we just get Bettman to sit down for a couple hours?
I don't know. I mean, even when they try to screw things up, they don't.
They don't. They can't even screw things up on purpose.
No.
Turned that deadline. It's nothing. It's a deadline.
It's not even a deadline.
Right. Yes, it's an opening. It's the opening of the NFL calendar year.
Right.
And they turned it into an event.
The only thing that's remotely similar is the Major League Baseball trading deadline.
Yep.
And even that, in recent years, has gotten watered down because of all of the deals that get made in the next month when guys pass through waivers.
Exactly.
But if you remember back in the old Mr. Mom days when the trading deadline was June 15th.
Yes.
The June 15th date was like this past Tuesday in the NFL.
Which I think they should go back to.
It's a little early, though, no?
I think they should go back to it. I think it forces teams' hands. Now with the extra wild card, too.
June 15th is not even the Super 2 date, Steve. I mean, come on.
No, I was thinking...
Super 2.
What is it now? July 30...
July 31st.
July 31st. Move it to July 1st. 4th of July weekend. That's American. Don't be anti-American.
It's American to move the trading deadline?
That's right. It's American to make trades on the 4th of July. It's capitalism. It's open market.
So then make it July 5th is the deadline.
Let's celebrate.
Right? Capitalism. So as the fireworks go off, the trades are happening.
The fireworks go off.
Literally and figuratively.
Correct.
You might be onto something.
Thanks. I think the NFL made the only thing that's left here, and you know it's coming.
Is it televised?
That's right. That's correct.
Like a game show almost?
That's it. Televised, and now just make it like the draft.
So in other words, what would you do? You would have them in a studio, and the players would, like, at 4 o'clock, you would just start introducing them one by one as part of their new team?
Yeah, or just do a studio, just do like a 4-hour studio show where you're basically have like four guys on Twitter, all following Adam Schefter, and just this just coming in. This looks like there's interest.
Well, there
seems
was something.
Like, seems like the Patriots are kicking the tires on. We get a lot of that.
I thought they did a little something like that on the NFL Network.
Did they?
Week. Yeah.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Something like that.
They're way ahead of me. They turned the opening of the league calendar year into like a must Twitter event.
That's what it is, the opening of the league year.
And Twitter's the key here. I mean, Twitter has literally changed this entirely.
Oh yeah.
Because it started to happen with the Major League deadline, Major League Baseball deadline, you're right there, the trade deadline, and also LeBron.
And LeBron, right.
The decision and trying to get the jump on the decision,
right,
was like a big part of Twitter, making sports Twitter.
Well, you know, you talk about 4 years ago when we were talking about it at the beginning.
Yeah.
Twitter wasn't around 4 years ago. Or it was, but it was very...
Infancy.
In its very infancy, yeah.
It was, absolutely. I think, and we'll get to this, but like this year with free agency, like things were broken by Adam Schefter.
Right.
Like once you heard it from Adam Schefter.
That's when you could trust it.
It was official. You know, and of course people are fighting to break the, you know, he's going here, he's going there. It's fascinating. I got to be honest, I was all over my Twitter feed. I was. I couldn't stop.
I'll do you one better. I was off that day.
Oh, boy.
I took off from work.
Did you put it up on the big screen?
I should have. The problem was that at 4 o'clock, that's when the kids came home. The kids came home at the exact time that everything was happening.
Right.
And I was in the middle of shuffling them back and forth to dance classes.
Right. Checking your timeline furiously.
So all day I had nothing else to do. All day, home alone, by myself. I was watching the NFL Network, gearing up for 4 o'clock.
Eating
and
a block
four,
of cheese.
4 o'clock, yeah. No pants. 4 o'clock rolls around, and that was it. I was on the clock now for the next 2 hours.
You're
checking in with you guys in between.
You're off the ballet.
It was awful.
Oh, man. No, to get into the Jets and then the Giants and all of free agency, I think the other huge difference that's happening now is big-time players who still have, quote-unquote, gas left in the tank, Bri, are making it to free agency because the end of their deals don't need to be honored.
Right.
As you say, and this, you know, Pal Antonio, we'll call him Sal.
Sal
Pal. Was on with Lupica the other day, Cal, when right before free agency, before they leading up to the opening.
Right.
And he made a great point. I mean, a great point. He and Lupica were having a conversation. Oh, no, it was the next day. It was Wednesday. And they were talking about the Jets losing Austin Howard, who was really overpaid by the Raiders.
Sure.
Austin Howard is a middling right tackle. He's a solid starter, but he got, you know, five years and $30 million and 15 guaranteed and... You know, or six and 30, something like that?
6 and 30, I think.
6 and 30, and I know it was 15 guaranteed. And
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and the Jets weren't going to beat that. Like, we're not going that far for maybe the 14th best right tackle in the league.
Right.
And Palantonio said, here's the problem. The NFL has a problem. There's too much money. So even though they have a salary cap, this huge windfall befell them, and so every team got like an extra $12 million.
Right.
So you already had teams that had $40 million or $30 million of cap space because they've been bad for a long time or drafted poorly,
mm-hmm.
and there's non-guaranteed contracts, so you can just cut guys and get way under the cap. And then you got an extra $12 million onto the cap, and there's not enough talent.
That's true.
So guys,
very watered down.
Guys like the Raiders have $59 million in cap room.
Right.
So you essentially can't keep a team together because a player like Austin Howard, who should be a no-brainer to be able to be signed back with the Jets because of a gross overpay, and his suggestion on fixing. Get this. His suggested fix, when it keeps going up like that, they need to add a team in each league every I think he said like every 2 years or 4 years.
Like expansion?
That's what he said, I think. If I heard him right.
I don't know about that.
And to keep the cap down.
I believe you that that's what he said. I don't know if I agree with that, though.
It was something to that effect, like something like add a new team in each league every 2 years or 4 years or something like that to keep the cap down.
Okay.
Because the revenue would be more spread out. And I thought that dilutes the talent more. But... I don't know exactly what his fix was. I got to be honest. I was at work,
okay.
I was sort of in and out. But his point was to me well taken. Like there's the Raiders having $59 million means they can throw ridiculous sums, and they have. They signed Justin Tuck. They signed Austin Howard. They signed everybody.
They tried to
sign Saffold. He failed the physical. They're just trying to throw money at being a terrible team. They still have no quarterback. They're going to have Mark Sanchez soon enough.
The Raiders?
Yeah.
Imagine.
I think that's where he's going. I really do.
All right.
But anyway, so back to the Jets. So what were you feeling on day one when they're laying in the weeds?
What was I? Well, it spanned the range of emotions all day, because I was very comfortable with what he was doing. And at 4 o'clock, when all of the big names started signing in different places, and people were freaking out that they weren't signing anybody, I was okay with it.
Yeah,
I was okay with it, because I figured he's approaching this very methodically. It's a stark contrast to the way the Jets in the past had always operated, and I was fine with it. But that was Tuesday. By the time we got to Wednesday evening, and they still hadn't signed anybody, and a lot of names were coming off the board, starting to get nervous.
You were busting
a little bit, and at that point, I just wanted him to sign somebody
resembling anybody.
Get on the board. That's it. I would have felt better. And then late last night, they got on the board in a big way with Eric Decker.
Yeah. Who we said last week at the end of the show, we were all in on.
Yeah. So because they got the one guy that I really wanted them to get this offseason above everybody else, I feel okay right now.
I think my favorite part of this is we talked a couple shows ago about trading fan bases. Like wanting to trade fan bases,
uh-huh.
And how I want to trade. I don't want to trade rooting for the teams I root for. I want to trade the fan bases that I'm forced to be a part of. Jet fans were losing their mind
mm-hmm.
on Tuesday that they hadn't by 6 o'clock p.m. Jet fans were losing their mind. They haven't signed anybody. What are they doing? It's sick. Let's go. It started. What are you doing? You're letting Jarius Byrd walk. You're letting guys are coming off the board. What are you do? Why are we not talking? We have $39 million in cap room. Why are we not talking to anybody? What is going on? Losing their mind.
Yep.
Wednesday. The only reason we know that Eric Decker was there is because somebody sees him on a flight to Newark. Somebody's
right.
on a flight with him to Newark. Otherwise, the Jets never put it out there that he was visiting.
I thought we knew that he might be visiting.
Nope.
You didn't see that?
Nope.
Okay.
Jets never, there was no leak, there was nothing on Wednesday that said Eric Decker was visiting the Jets. Nothing. Nothing.
No, I thought on Tuesday.
There's nothing.
Okay.
So literally the only reason that anybody knows he's visiting, and then the Jets confirm it. Once this is out there, the Jets are like, yeah, fine, he's here.
Right.
Because there's a picture of him like at the air, you know, on a plane to Newark.
Right.
And Jet fans are losing their mind that they've brought in and they're talking to probably the best free agent wide receiver target that there is, and they're going to spend too much on him. So,
or they were going to let him walk away.
No, that didn't even get to that until like later in the evening.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're talking.
I'm talking
really?
All day.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
So Tuesday by 6 o'clock, what are we doing? We're not spending the money. What's going on? How come we're not having the big guys in? What are we doing? Wednesday. Why are we having the biggest guy in? We're going to spend money. We're going to overpay on him. We don't have that much money. What are we doing? And then all the Revis stuff is going on at the same time. I mean, hey, yep. Fellas. Hey, ladies and gentlemen of Jet fandom, I beg you, please, put yourselves together. Will you please make up your mind?
Yesterday was a little bit out of control.
Oh, it's... So was today.
The
reaction to signing Eric Decker was a... To me, was a, once again, only the Jets moment.
Well, now tell me what you saw, because most of what I saw early today was the reaction to not signing Revis, which was all orchestrated by the media.
And the New York Daily News, right, and Manish
right.
Mehta. Our old friend Manish.
You know what's funny, and just a real quick aside on that.
Please.
He was only gone for a year. And it's almost like he's been gone for 10 years and people forgot everything about the Darrell Revis.
But he didn't play that year either.
Soap opera. Right.
That last year with them, he got hurt in game three.
Okay, so maybe, yeah, so it's almost, yeah, but you still had all of the drama with Revis was last year time.
Totally.
You know? And then he was gone for a year. And everybody kind of, like, cooled their jets a little bit. Oh, God, I didn't mean to do that.
Man.
I did not mean to do that. Oh, man.
We just lost two sponsors. I hope you're happy.
That's unforgivable.
Look, we have cliche and pun clauses in our contract.
I can't believe I did. I apologize.
Hey, cool your jets, all right?
Please.
It's okay. It's okay.
Anyway.
Hey, look, that expression may take off. What? Is that? Should I not do that?
God, don't make it worse.
Sorry.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
No, they did forget about Darrell Revis as
right.
Darrell
oh,
Revis.
That's what it was. And Manish Mehta from the Daily News was kind of like, he kind of took a year off of being a real scoochy jerk, you know? And then it just all, like, it all came,
it all back,
came back on Tuesday, like, oh, yeah, that's right.
This is
we
what I do,
like,
right.
To the point where, and it was in one day. It was on Tuesday. Because on Monday, leading up to the free agency, I went back in, and, like, I had seen people were retweeting him, and I'm like, oh, he might have something interesting to say.
Yeah.
I refollowed him on Tuesday morning.
Wow.
Only to realize
you got
that's
sucked
right.
back in. Right.
Yep. And then I unfollowed him right away. But it's amazing how how Darrell Revis stirred this whole thing up again.
Well, his team was masterful, Bri. Team Revis was masterful. They somehow made this seem like the Patriots stole Darrell Revis from the Jets.
Right.
And Revis picked the Pats over the Jets.
Right. Almost like the Jets traded him to the Patriots.
when the Jets never had any interest in bringing him back.
And he wasn't a Jet.
And he wasn't even on the team.
He wasn't a member of the team.
But Team Revis calls up the Jets and tries to get a hold of Itzik. He doesn't even take their call. They sent, like, a text message to, like, a low-level Jet staffer saying, hey, you know, we're gauging your interest. And the staffer probably was like, well, Rex would love to have him back, but Itzik's not even going to talk to you.
Right.
It was like, we're not doing it.
So then Team Revis took that information over to Mehta.
Yep.
And then it turned into a...
A source close to the Jets says they would love to have him back.
Right.
And the Jets want him back. So it became... It became this thing, and then, of course, the back page of the New York Daily News is, you know, Revis and Buttheads.
Right.
And the Jets are the Buttheads in this equation.
Of course.
And did you see the headline of his article?
No.
You know, like the paths that the Jets took to lead Revis to the Pats. there was one path they took. They traded him last year. To the Buccaneers.
It's not even like they traded him to the Patriots. It's as if they just gave him to the Patriots.
They walked him up there.
Right.
You know what? And I'm over the Revis thing.
Yeah, me too.
I'm totally over it.
I am. I mean, I'll be honest. I really wanted him back yesterday when I thought there was a chance that he could come back.
As did I.
I was dying to get him back. And I knew full well the nonsense that came along with it.
It would have been... Exactly on the deal he got from the Patriots.
Right.
You saw the deal he got.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous deal. He'll be a free agent again next year.
Right. And he will do the same thing again next year.
To somebody else.
Well, he'll do it to us.
Yep.
He will float word out that he wants to come back here.
Yep.
And
because for the Patriots to keep him next year, he will count $20 million towards their salary gap.
Right.
They will need to pay him $20 million. It's a one-year deal.
But you're right. I'm over it too.
Yeah, it's not bothering me that he's playing for them. I'm more concerned about the Jets. I mean, it stinks, but he's Deion at this point now.
Yeah.
Like he is. He's turning into Deion Sanders for me.
He is. You're right.
You know, like I feel like the allegiance is done. He was a great Jet. He's one of the best Jets of all time. Eh, I'm good.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's going to stink. seeing him in the Patriots uniform.
Of course, it is. But it's not. Look, we still got to get a split with him. I don't play, but the Jets need to still split with them anyway. You know, they need to win one out of those two games to have any chance at the division anyway, just like they did this past year.
Right.
So it doesn't. It's not phasing me that. But you know, they're going to lose Vince Wilfork. They're going to lose.
Yeah, they lost Tlaib.
Right. They lost Spikes.
Uh-huh.
That defense is banged. He better be there because that defense is banged up and not great. So anyway, I want to talk about Decker real quick, and then I want to bring up something about the Giants.
Okay.
So it was Battlefield Earth today. Well, not really. Travolta wasn't there. Have you ever seen that movie?
No. No.
Like, in its entirety or not even pieces?
I haven't seen even pieces of it.
Wow.
Battlefield Earth with John Travolta?
Yeah, the Scientology, the L. Ron Hubbard book. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not good. It's not even, like, campy.
It's just poorly made.
It's taking itself very seriously.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Miss Adele Dazeem. So she's wickedly talented. He thought he was so clever. Adele Dazeem. What?
Who is that? That is somebody. That is somebody, though, right?
I don't know.
Apparently, there is a person.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. Yeah.
But it was crazy pants today about Decker. And Jet fans. It's too much money, or not too much money. They couldn't get on the deal. They got on the fact that he's not a number one wide receiver.
That was the big thing today.
And this is what I meant by only the Jets situation with the media, where like I was watching NFL AM, and they're talking about how he was a third or fourth option with the Broncos. A third or fourth option? Really? He had 140 targets. He had six less catches than Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
What does that make him? What does that make Wes Welker? The eighth option? It's foolish. It really, I'm not saying that he's going to put up 87 catches and 11 touchdowns and 1,200 yards with Geno Smith throwing the football. I'm not going to say that Peyton Manning being his quarterback is not helpful. Of course it is.
But you know what? You brought up a very good point last night, too, that I hadn't thought of. How was his year with Tim Tebow?
Well, his year with it was Kyle Orton for six games, Tebow for 10. And
right.
He's a second-year receiver at that point. And he had 44 catches for 600 yards and 8 touchdowns.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all for a second. That makes Jeremy – that's
would have led the team last year.
Would have led the team the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Would have led the Jets. So, but the other point is, I'm sorry, is Eli or is Peyton Manning delivering these footballs on a cushioned pillow? Like, they still have to catch them, right? Or is he actually walking over to them and dropping them in their lap on a feather bed? I mean, we're not talking. Hey. He's Peyton Manning. He just had the greatest regular season the quarterback's ever had. They still have to catch the ball, do they not? I mean, it's not like he's throwing BBs all over the place.
Yeah. No, you're right.
This is not Brett Favre in 1995 throwing bullets at people.
Look, he's good. He's 26. He's entering the prime of his career.
He has 222 catches in the last 3 years. Okay? 222! With 32 touchdowns and 3,000 yards receiving. You know who else has those numbers? Dez Bryant. Why is he not and both years he's been the second leading receiver on the team to Demaryius Thomas. It's close. I mean, it's not like Demaryius Thomas has 125 receptions and 2,000 yards. It's close.
What did Golden Tate get? What was his contract?
Basically, Decker wound up getting about $1 million more a year. That's it.
Than Golden Tate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cal, this contract is fantastic. And the last 3 years, by the way, are pay-to-play years.
Right.
Meaning they can cut him without salary cap ramifications. All the guaranteed money is in the first 3 years.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do? You can't have a better deal than this. He's being paid like a one or a two. He's being paid like a two, essentially. A really well-paid two. But the whole one, two, it's nonsense.
Right.
If you're the Jets, you just need good receivers.
You just need any receivers at
this
point.
That's it. You're building a wide receiver core. That's what you want to do. You have Jeremy Curley, who's a solid slot receiver. Okay? And you have David Nelson. That's it.
Oh, you have Stephen Hill.
I'm not counting him. I refuse to count him.
You have to count him.
Cal, he's not going to make the team.
We'll see. We'll see.
You know, somebody brought up another great point about Decker, and that was, do you think Decker will be able to take Stephen Hill under his wing like he took Demaryius Thomas under his wing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, wide receiver out of Georgia Tech, he'd run this, you know, similar offense or whatever. I don't know if there's any validity there. From everything you read about Decker, there was a great article about his high school, and there was he appears to be not only really good looking, but he appears to be just this wonderful guy.
Yeah, he's got his head screwed on straight, it seems like.
There was a school shooting at his high school.
Okay.
When he was a senior in high school. And one of his best friends, it was like a kind of a Columbine-y thing at his high school in Minnesota. And, you know, there was a big article on it in the Post during Super Bowl week. And there was an article on him. And he seems like an unbelievable guy. Like,
really
great guy.
Are you scared off by the reality show stuff or no?
Nah, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I mean, when Jesse Palmer was doing that, you know, while he was with the Giants, like, is that a big deal? You know, he's doing The Bachelor or something. It's fine. It's really fine. He's in New York. Good.
Look, the Jets did Hard Knocks. The entire team did Hard Knocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
I'm not even remotely scared off by that. In fact, I welcome it. We're the New York Jets. They had Joe Namath wearing a fur coat on the sidelines. He owned a nightclub. And he retired from football because the NFL made him give up his nightclub because it was associated with Sam Giancana. I mean, we're the Jets. This is what we do.
Well, it's fine. And that's a good first step, right? You would agree that that's a good first move.
That's exactly what it is.
Because it's not the move.
That's what I was trying to explain. They're building a wide receiver core. So you get a guy who's a really good outside receiver, which you don't have. He has good enough speed to take a top of a defense. Look at his route breakdowns and stuff, Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid. He's got a number of plays over 25 yards in the air, number of post plays, number of fly patterns. He can run every route on the tree, runs great routes. He's become sure-handed. He had problems with his hands early on. It's just a good signing at a good price. And it allows you to do other stuff. So I thought they're doing a fantastic. And my favorite part, Brian. My favorite part. They announced it. The
yes.
Jets.
Yes.
Not Adam Schefter. Not the player. Not ESPN sources. Not no one. And people were waiting all day. And they announced it. And you know what the truth is to me? I think they had this done. I think they had the basics of this deal done before he even got on a plane from Denver. And I think they waited till 11:30 at night on purpose. I really do. To release the information. I really do.
Conspiracy, Steve.
No, I think they were effing with the media. I really do.
I don't buy that. I can see why you would say that. I don't buy that at all. I mean, he was there for like 14 hours.
Mm-hmm. They went out to dinner. They were relaxing. Hanging out
all day. He was there all day. It's a long day.
They were hanging out at dinner. Look, he had an extraordinarily pregnant wife. He had just seen he had just seen the facility last month at the Super Bowl. He'd spent a week there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance he's getting on a plane from Denver with his wife about to pop with a kid.
I like how you clarified that.
Yeah, not like a tick. to come to New York without knowing that he's pretty much going to sign by the end of the day.
Right.
There's not a chance. I loved it. I love what John Idzik is doing. I love it.
Well, let's flip it a little bit. Do you love what he's doing with the cornerbacks?
It's not that I'm upset about – look, to me, they weren't going to get Revis. You could make the argument. I think they were surprised at what Vontae Davis went for.
Yes, I think that was the guy that they wanted all along.
I think so. And I think when he went for $10 million and never even gave them a chance.
Right.
But you also have to, you know, it takes two to tango, Cal, as they say in Brazil, really, mostly. I think they mostly say that in Brazil. Maybe Argentina?
It's not poker play.
I mean, he has to want to come, right?
Sure.
So you can't force a guy like Captain Munnerlyn, the greatest name of all time.
He signed somewhere today. Where did
he sign? With the Vikings. 3 years, and he got really good money.
$15 million, I think.
The guys have to want to come. Yeah. You know, I'm not panicked yet. I don't think John Idzik does panic.
No, I don't think so either. I just when I look at the names that are left on the board, there's not many that I want.
But they're building a different defense, Cal.
Yeah.
They're building
the front back now.
That's right. That 09 defense, 09 and 10 defense was from the back seven to the front.
Right. It's different. It's flipped now.
And their defensive line is so good and so up and coming. I think to feel like you can get away with a lesser secondary, he's always gotten away with lesser safeties, always.
Right.
I mean, you know, he had Ed Reed, obviously, in Baltimore, but he didn't draft him. And he's always wanted, Rex Ryan's always wanted good corners. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he plays a lot of cover zero, he plays a lot of man, he wants to be. But with these guys on this defensive line, you don't have to blitz as much. You can play more zone.
Right.
And I think we have a classic case of Rex overestimating the talent of,
yeah.
Oh, sure. This is a classic Rex. Like, we don't need a number one corner. We have one in Milliner. And, classic Rex.
Well, you would hope that Idzik wouldn't necessarily fall for that.
Sure.
You know, like, I would say that Idzik would not have fallen. It didn't get to this point. But if Tannenbaum was still there, Rex would have been in Tannenbaum's office on his hands and knees saying, give Revis whatever he wants.
Right.
And Tannenbaum would have done it. You know, it didn't get to that point with Idzik that he even had to make the choice.
But Idzik wasn't even hearing it.
No, yeah. We're good.
He wasn't even hearing it. So I just, there seems to be a plan.
There does. Now, what, let's say the next couple of days, what do you want, what would you like to see happen? Now, they probably do have a plan, but you as a fan, what do you want to see happen?
I would like to see them get a corner.
Okay.
I would like to see – I like Brandon Pettigrew for this team. I think that's a guy that you can make like a low commitment to who – you know, he kills you in fantasy every time you draft him. I've drafted him at least four times. But he – so from that aspect, F you, Pettigrew. But – and he is also a guy who had 81 catches a couple years ago. He also has the most drops of any tight end in, like, the last 6 years with 39. But he's an excellent blocker.
Right.
And I don't think – see, you think that they like Cumberland as, like, a receiving tight end. I think they think of Cumberland as good depth.
All right.
Like, if you strike out on Pettigrew and you don't get a Carlson or you don't get a free agent tight end, and then you draft Jason Morrow, for example – you need Cumberland there. J. Jason Moore is not going to come in and play 50 snaps a game. So you need Cumberland there. And I like Sudfeld.
Yeah, he intrigues me. I don't think we saw enough out of him last year.
He amuses me.
It's the hair, though, on him. Please.
Oh, the hair. Please. Get a haircut. Looks like a real dirtbag.
What are you, a hippie?
What are you? So I want to see, I wouldn't mind Pettigrew. I want to see another receiver.
Okay.
Tell you the guy I want.
The guy you want.
I'm going to say it.
I know who it is.
Julian Edelman.
Yeah. He does seem like he'd be a good fit.
And it hurts the Patriots.
Right.
So you hurt your rival, and you get a player that's very useful for you.
Right.
Who you could probably get at a reasonable rate. And then you're building a wide receiver core. Then you have a guy like Curley who fits a need. You have a guy like Decker who does a certain thing. You have a guy like Edelman who can play that sort of Wes Welker role. Because Curley's like in between.
Right. Curley's miscast as the number one receiver, which is what he was before yesterday.
Right. I want to put together a core where I'm not worried about the number one. The only number one receiver is on the route combination, the first read.
Right.
You know, it's not the guy who has to get fed the ball 15 times a game. If that particular day Jeremy Curley's my number one wide receiver because that's what the game plan calls for, I want the ability to do that.
Right.
If it's Julian Edelman because it's that, you know, I want the ability to do that. If it's Zach Sudfeld and his hair, I want the ability to do that.
I just
like the approach. It seems somebody had a great quote and I am adhering to this. Itzik came in and took the circus tent poles down, and he is building a fortress.
Yeah.
No leaks. Nothing gets in or out. It's our team. He has closed up the ranks. And I love it. I, for one, love it. It's not a smarter than you close up the ranks.
No.
It's not a Mangini smarter than you close up the ranks.
No, but it's a clear intent to change the way things operated around here.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of what the Giants did?
I like what the Giants did. I think the Giants, you know, we talked about this. The Giants had their plans lined up before free agency started, and 4 o'clock on Tuesday, they went out and they just went boom, boom, boom. They lined them up. They got the guys they wanted. They filled their spots. I think they did a good job.
I totally agree.
You know?
I think they did a great job. And I think that all their signings were need-based. They re-signed Beeson, which was huge.
Yep.
So they kept their guy. Tuck, thanks for the memories.
No, $11 million. You're not going to keep
Tuck. You can't get sentimental for $11 million.
No, Rashad Jennings is a great running back. I think he's going to fit in nicely there.
Very solid. I don't love him, but they obviously know quite a bit more about football than I do. So... but he's injury prone.
He can get hurt a lot.
That's why I don't love him. But Schwartz is a great signing for the offensive line. They looked at their needs and they addressed them in the boom 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 fashion.
Yeah, which is fine. You know they didn't do it in a big like Cleveland did, big splashy signed two big names right away.
Yeah,
to generate buzz.
Yep.
They
don't need to. They're the Giants.
No, right. Above buzz.
You know, speaking of methodical, I mean, they're the Giants.
Right.
They're going to add... Now, are they... I don't know if they're necessarily a better team yet. Like, they're all the way back. They're an improved team, but it's... I mean, they're going to lose Knicks, so they're going to need to replace that, even though he had an off year.
Unless Knicks can't find an offer anywhere.
Right. Well, no, he'll land in Carolina, right? I mean, did you see the receivers after they cut Steve Smith? Do you want Steve Smith?
As a Giant or a Jet?
Jet.
No.
Wow.
I don't think so.
I don't agree with you at all.
I want somebody younger and more athletic and more flexible in the system.
But you have Decker now.
Yeah, I want to know. I want another guy that's like that.
You don't want to. You can't add Steve Smith to that?
I think I would rather James Jones.
See, James Jones is... I mean, how is he not a product of Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know.
I can't answer that.
I don't... I haven't seen him away from Aaron Rodgers, so I can't...
You know where James Jones is a good fit to me? The Giants.
Giants. See, I feel like Miles Austin is a good fit with the Giants.
Could be. I'd take a flyer.
I know.
I'd take a flyer on Miles Austin. You have to say it that way, though. He's from Jersey.
Right.
You'd take a flyer.
Local product.
I'd take a flyer.
They need a tight end, too, the Giants.
They need a tight end as well.
You know?
Somebody was saying if Zach Miller shakes free from Seattle, that the Jets would be all over that, that Itzik would be all over that.
I would be.
I like Giacomini.
It'd be interesting to see. Like, why did Seattle cut him loose? Was it salary? I don't know why they let him go.
Yeah, I think they viewed him as he's 28 years old. You know, he only recently became a starter. He wasn't a full-time sort of, I think he's a stopgap guy for the Jets, too, but I just think it was like a good backup plan to go get somebody you know very well who grades out in pass pro better than Austin Howard does.
Yeah.
To me, very similar guys. You know, you got Giacomini much cheaper
right.
than it would have been for Austin. All right, wrapping up free agency.
Okay.
I do want to talk about the Mets and the children are stirring.
Okay.
So what do you want to see? I just the main thing I want to see, Cal, for the Jets is another receiver.
Okay.
Get me another receiver. James Jones, Steve Smith, Miles Austin, Julian Edelman is my first wish. And that also solves your punt return game, too.
Yeah, that's a really good point with him.
And that solves your return game. Just get me another receiver. I'm not even that worried about a corner. Just get me another receiver.
That's what I want, the corner.
Right.
I want. You know who I want? I want Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
You love DRC.
I like him. That's who I want.
Yeah.
That's the guy that's out there. And strangely, no buzz, although that's the whole point with the Jets. There's really no buzz with anybody.
You don't know who they're talking to.
No.
It's delightful.
I love it.
I don't need to know. I'm okay. Surprise me.
Yeah.
Real quick with the Mets, and then I want to bring Pigeon back in here. What's all this? With the
Ruben Tejada?
Yeah. No, with the media and the John Neese.
Oh, that. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what happened with Dan Worthen yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. So, I guess the big subtle but...
Uncle Dan Worthen? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who apparently... say, keep those senior citizens.
We can't really repeat what he said, can
no.
we?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was an insensitive, racially insensitive joke.
The best part about it was his explanation. I don't know if you read it.
I didn't.
You did or you didn't?
I didn't.
Okay.
I love that there is one.
You know, we're just reporting it, so I don't care. I'll say it. There was an Daisuke Matsuzaka's translator.
Yes.
In the clubhouse.
His valet, really.
His valet.
I mean, he follows him everywhere.
For some reason, Dan Worthen referred to him as a Chinaman. I don't know why. Referred to him as a Chinaman. There happened to be an Asian-American writer in the clubhouse at the exact same time that heard it and then wrote a story about it in the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
That's how this all happened. And it actually led to some very interesting discourse on what is and isn't appropriate to report from a clubhouse.
Right.
Which was good, but that's a whole other topic. Because we're talking about Dan Worthen referring to this gentleman as a Chinaman.
Right.
So now the pressure is on him to go apologize.
Sure.
And he went and he apologized. And the guy was like, yeah, you know, no big deal. Don't worry about it. But he couldn't leave well enough alone.
Nope.
And he said, clearly I know you're Japanese. I thought it was a funny joke.
So wait.
So he wasn't apologizing because it was derogatory.
No.
He was apologizing because he thought that...
You didn't get it.
they thought he was mischaracterizing the nationality of this man.
Right.
And he says, you didn't get the joke. I thought it was a funny joke.
Yeah, sure. Sure he did.
So that happened. Sandy Alderson has to issue a statement. Terry Collins has to issue a statement. They all have to apologize for the crazy old uncle who's spouting off. Right? John Neese takes offense at the fact that there are guys tweeting all of this from the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Right? And you come to find out that there's been a lot of different things. We know the issue that Ike Davis had with
Which
Mike Puma of the New York Post.
Tweeted and recorded live.
Right. We know the issue with Ruben Tejada.
Yeah.
And somebody was, you know, a Met source was quoted as saying they're disappointed in him. So all of these things seem to be adding up, and there's this growing tension between the Met players and the media.
Which has been coming for a few years now.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about for a few years now. Like, you can only cover a team this way for so long. You can only write the stories that you're writing and see these guys every day for so long.
Right.
When they're eventually going to be like, enough.
Hey.
I'm not giving you access anymore.
Hey, guy. Too much.
Hey, guy. It has to be that, right? Because they're ball players. Hey, guy.
Hey, guy.
Hey, boss. That's enough.
Nerd.
All right? That's enough out of you.
I know.
But you know what, though? They're not wrong. Oh, there it is. I'm calling you back on FaceTime. Don't be alarmed. They're not wrong.
Of course they're not wrong.
It's the snark level, the snark factor that the beat reporters use on the New York Mets is astonishing.
And they all think they're so funny.
Yes.
Like, they're constantly, like, tripping over themselves I don't see it anywhere as much as I see it with Met beat writers, where they bring each other into the conversation.
Right.
Or they tweet out these inside jokes between beat writers. And, like, nobody, and I mean nobody, cares. Nobody cares what Mark Carrig of the Newsday ate for lunch today and that his breath is bad. Nobody cares what Jared Diamond did on test track at Epcot Center. Nobody cares about you people. Your job is to provide us with information, not your opinion, not your snark. This is not the Adam Rubin Comedy Hour. I want to hear news about the Mets. Nobody wants to hear it.
That's it.
And the Mets players, for sure, don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, they're getting tired of it. And there's two levels here too, right? Like, who is more trolly? Who trolls a fan base more than Met beat writers?
Jet beat writers.
It's close. It's tight.
It's very close.
So they're trolling the fan base while pissing off the team they're covering.
Right. So they're really covering themselves in glory.
Yeah, like,
360.
Good job, everybody.
Every way you turn.
I mean, Puma got in trouble for... Now, look, you and I both don't like Ike Davis, but if you say something that's off the record or you agree not to put something in a story where Ike Davis says to you, you know, like, and you agree and you say, yeah, you're right, I'm not gonna run with that, and then you do it, you should really expect some ramifications, right?
Right. And you know what?
Like, the player's going to be pissed off.
If you're going to do it, be a man about it, too.
Right.
Like, if you're going to stir this up, you should expect that there's going to be some repercussions and deal with it like a man instead of hiding behind, you know, journalism.
Yeah, or taking a a swing at, you know, or a, you know, a jab at Ike Davis when you're on the radio and somebody
right.
says, did you think he was going to take a swing at you or something? Or I was afraid he'd take a swing at me, but I knew he'd miss.
Yeah.
Really? You're a professional reporter?
Well, that's the thing, Steve. The level of professionalism is just non-existent at this
really,
point.
It's really bad. So I'm not surprised to see, or I wasn't surprised to see John Neese saying, and that is a great debate. What are you tweeting? This is, sanctimony of the locker room, of a clubhouse.
Right.
Can you be, we just talked about this 2 weeks ago, right, in an NFL locker room. Right? But there's a difference between or tweeting that out of what's being said in a clubhouse, I don't think is right.
You know, I said people don't care. I was wrong. I don't care, and you don't care. But there's a lot of people out there that love that kind of dirt that
yeah.
the beat writers are stirring up.
Yeah.
And they want to hear stuff like that. And they like it, and they can't get enough of it.
Like, you should be able to be comfortable in a clubhouse. Things go on with players talking about other players or whatever. It's part of the dynamic of 25 guys in a baseball clubhouse. I'm not talking about anything ethnic or anything racial or – I'm not talking about that. That's different. I'm talking about – you know, somebody, two guys having a conversation in the corner of a clubhouse and saying Ruben Tejada doesn't look like he's in that great a shape.
Right.
And that gets used as a source. Or I had a meeting, you know, two guys talking, I had a meeting with Terry Collins and I bawled him out and we bitched it, you know, bitched him out or we had a bitch session or whatever. And you use that as a source. Yeah, I think that's what Neese is talking about. Nobody wants a license to be a bigot or a racist.
Right.
But there are dynamics there within a clubhouse, within a ball club, that should stay in the clubhouse. Are you going to – what's next? Are you going to tweet out if a guy, you know, is talking to one of his friends on the team and admits to cheating on his wife? You going to tweet that out? You know what I mean? Like
– You better be prepared for the repercussions
yeah.
of that. If you're gonna go that far,
yeah, it's an interesting debate. You said something about Cerrone on Mets blog was gonna have something on this, sir.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, but he had tweeted earlier in the day that he was looking to put together something about this growing problem that the Mets players are having with the media. I haven't seen anything on it yet.
It's coming. You know, David Wright when he's doing interviews now sounds annoyed.
He's definitely defensive, much more so than he has been in the past.
Yeah, I think annoyed's maybe not the right word. Defensive is a better word. You're right, especially like when it asked about the 90 wins thing, for example. He's like, yeah, I expect to win 90 games. I expect to make the playoffs. What do you want me to say? We're gonna suck.
Which would be another story if they came out and said that.
Right.
They can't win. They, you know,
it's an interesting thing. Well, they, you know, in certain ways, Cal, they don't deserve to win because
they keep
marching Ruben Tejada out there and expecting the same, you know, the results to change.
Yeah.
And they don't deserve to win.
Well, you saw the latest. You probably didn't see the latest tonight. Terry Collins tells Ruben Tejada, "You're my shortstop.
Oh,
don't worry
on.
About it.
Come
don't
on.
Worry about it. You're going to be in the lineup.
Come on."
So there are.
Was it the 1-for-16 with 3 errors? Is that what put him over the top?
Is
his performance has been magnificent. What do you think of Ruben Tejada so far, Terry? I think I need to invent a word. That's how moved I am. It's splendiferous adorous.
Let me tell you something about Ruben Tejada. Okay, Ruben Tejada can play ball on my team any day.
Can be my shortstop any day. He really they gave him the job?
Well, there's a theory that he just told him that to try to calm him down.
What are we?
Which is another problem.
Why does this guy need such coddling? Why does this kid? I mean, he's 24. He's not 19 anymore. Why does he need such coddling?
Why? I don't understand, and I've been saying this now for days. What more do they need to see? It like, is he all of a sudden tomorrow going to go 9 for 9 in 3 at-bats and be like, here he is, Ruben Tejada.
Good old 287 with 21 doubles is back.
I feel like, I mean, what more do you need to see out of him to know that you've got to go get a shortstop? No, it was Evan Roberts, wasn't it?
That was very Evan Robertsonian.
This idea.
But it's accurate.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So they do deserve some crap.
I said, listen, you're the shortstop here. Your name and your number are going to be in the lineup.
Oh.
You've just got to go be the player we know you can be, and you quit worrying about trying to impress everybody.
Sure.
We've seen it in the past, and 2 years ago, you were the talk of the town.
What town?
Not New York.
Wasn't New York.
You had a bad year. Big deal. Forget it. It's over. Everybody's had a bad year. Guys who are in the Hall of Fame have had bad years, so move on. That was what Colin said to 1 for 16 Ruben Tejada.
With 3 errors.
With 3 errors and an injury.
That's
what I mean.
It's quite a pep talk.
To not go out and get a shortstop. If they don't go out and get a shortstop, And I'm going to sing this song until the cows come home, or at least until opening day, whichever comes first.
The cows are on the move, by the way.
Here they come. On the move.
No, stop. No. Again, very strict pun clauses in our contracts.
That's what we're doing tonight. On opening day.
It's an utter disaster.
On opening day, they're going to lie.
Look, I'm going to milk this for all it's worth. Okay,
you,
please.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Sorry. That's just the last one.
On opening day, they're going to line their players up on the first base line.
And shoot them?
It very well might.
It's opening day. Can we at least wait a week before we're doing the firing squad thing?
Well, listen, the Mets are not going to, but the fans are going to have – Ruben Tejada is going to trot out there. Ike Davis is going to trot out there.
Well, and you know, probably be in a walking boot.
Limp out there. And the fans are going to boo these two guys out of the stadium before they've had an at-bat.
Back to the Stone Age.
For the year. And we're not talking about strong, mentally tough individuals.
No.
Right? That Terry Collins has to pull this shortstop aside and tell him that you got the job. Don't worry about it. And coddle him. They're missing the boat big time. They're missing the boat big team. Big time.
Big team too.
Big team, big time. Let Josh Staton start opening day, just so you don't have to run at Ike Davis out there and get him booed out of Queens.
When Strasburg strikes him out 9 times in 3 at-bats?
It befuddles me. I get it with Sandy Alderson. I get what he's trying to do, but, like, come on. Come on. This is the opposite of what Idzik is doing with the Jets.
I agree.
He's being stubborn. He's looking for the perfect deal right
and
now.
I think, I don't know if Terry Collins and I are going to make it through the season. I don't know if we're going to, I don't know if it's going to happen.
Might not.
We might make it through the season.
It's just, the last thing for me on this is that it frustrates me that they can't just make a deal to improve their team. The deal they make to improve their team has to be like this deal that only they could make. Like,
Right.
Look what we did. We made this happen. So.
Right. No, that's true.
It's just frustrating.
There is an element of that. Look at me.
Our shortstop stinks. Okay, they could go out tomorrow and get a better shortstop. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It would take nothing to give Stephen Drew 2 years for $24 million. It would take nothing to trade somebody to Seattle, trade somebody to Arizona. They could do that. They're just choosing not to.
Yeah.
And that frustrates me.
It frustrates everybody. Look, I can't Mets fans, of course.
All Mets fans.
I can't take another day looking at Ruben Tejada's face. I can't take his face. I can't.
You gotta right now. You got an entire year to look forward to.
And I haven't even seen Ike Davis yet this year.
In a walking boot. I mean, like, could you be more of a drama queen? That's like the kid that wears a big bandage on his head to school because he wants everybody to ask him, "Oh my God, what happened to you?" Because Ike Davis moping in with his, you know.
Ike, are you okay?
Right. Like, nobody pays attention to him, and all of a sudden he starts limping really hard and making noise. Like,
I'm walking. Serious. How's your Valley Fever?
He's just.
He's your favorite.
You know, how you feel, that's the only way I can put it to you. How you feel about Tejada?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Ike Davis.
Last thing here, we got to wrap up because little guy's turning.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Did you see Beltran on the roller coaster?
I saw it. I didn't know what it was. Can you explain that to me?
So I guess they were in Disney or something like that, or they're down
Busch
in Florida.
Garden.
Busch Gardens, because they're in Tampa, right? So they're at Busch Gardens. He's there with his family on like an off day, and they all got face painting. But this is elaborate face painting.
Right, like he looks like an extra from The Lion King.
He looks like he's in Cats. He's about to sing Memories. And they're on, and it's like a selfie video of them on a roller coaster with Beltran in front. And it's uncomfortably close to Beltran. And I called it Mr. Beltran's Wild Frightening Ride. He looks absolutely devilish.
It's like he doesn't know how to take a selfie. You know, like an older person with technology that's trying
it's
to do
so
something.
Good. He's yeah. just his face with this ridiculous cat face paint, tiger face, and it's full, and he's bald now. It's just really upsetting. And he's on a roller coaster. Magnificent.
I didn't know what it was.
There's so many good things about Carlos Beltran that people just don't know. Let's add this to the list. He is a strange, strange human being. He really is. Straight to the monkey.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. Go. Anybody who hears this and wants to know what I'm talking about, Google Carlos Beltran straight to the monkey. And you will read an interview with him when he was a Kansas City Royal. No research. Straight to the monkey. He bought a monkey. as a pet, because he thought it was cool or something. And the quote is, "No research, straight to the monkey."
So misunderstood, this guy.
That's definitely my next band name.
Straight to the monkey.
Straight to the monkey. So good. All right, let's wrap it.
All right, save that. We'll save the fun load for next week.
Yeah, it's that fun load that I had in mind. You can think about it. If you could be a member of one team in the past, of one of our teams, past, what team, like a member, like on the team.
On the year.
Yes. What team would it be and what position would you play?
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Would you be replacing the person that played that position?
I don't know. Haven't worked that out yet.
We got a week.
We'll have to figure that out.
We'll run it by the committee.
We lost PJ. He had to go to sleep. I was going to ask him about True Detective.
Oh, okay.
As I'm about to get into that. Have you gotten into it?
No. No, don't have the HBO.
Right. Still without the HBO.
Still don't have it.
You keep asking. It's been 4 years. Still, the Appropriations Committee has not found its way.
I haven't gotten clearance on it yet, yeah. No.
They have not found a way to get that here to us.
It's available.
I could have it.
Yeah, I just, you know.
So what are you watching? What do you watch?
What do I? Wow, I watch a lot of things.
But what are you watching right now? What has your rapt attention?
Right now I'm watching you.
Besides me.
On the iPad.
Right.
I watch a fantastic show on FX called The Americans.
You've been watching that?
Love it.
Shoots in my neighborhood.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, on my block.
It's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen it or not.
I have not.
It's great. And if it shoots in your neighborhood, you would get a kick out of watching
right.
it. It's just –
because I think that's where they live.
Right. But it's supposed to be Washington, D.C.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they're using Bayside.
Yeah, they used the Source Mall in Westbury.
The Source?
The Source.
Right. Fortunoff?
Yeah, they used that for setting last year.
Nice.
But it's great. Set in the 80s.
Right.
And it's so
Kerry
well,
Russell?
Kerry Russell.
You're a big fan.
Always like Kerry Russell.
Nothing wrong with that.
Back in the Felicity days.
Sure.
Big fan. It's really, really well done. It's with the 80s and the music that they use.
Nice.
The soundtrack of the show is just, it's not like cheesy 80s beating you over the head with the Rubik's Cube type thing.
All right.
It's like, it's excellent. So I watch that.
They're in season two there?
They just finished episode 3 of season 2.
Season 1 probably on the Netflix.
Season 1 is available on demand in a number of places. I would recommend it.
All right, sir.
And then the other big one that I watch is the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
We're feeling good about Andy Samberg.
Really good. Really, I mean, he's evolved over the season.
Wow.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. He reminds me of the development that Jimmy Fallon has had.
Okay.
Where Jimmy Fallon came out of Saturday Night Live into his own show, and he was still goofy Jimmy Fallon that you couldn't take seriously. But now Jimmy Fallon is a legitimate deal.
And it wound up being the perfect avenue for him.
Yeah. And this is actually the perfect avenue for Andy Samberg, too.
Nice.
So that's what I'm watching.
I got to get into that.
It's great.
I could probably watch season 1 there.
You could.
Again, available in several places.
Would you like a recommendation?
Please.
That's a nice summer thing to binge on.
That'll be a good summer. A good summer watch.
Let the season play out. There's only
sure.
a couple more episodes.
Sure.
And then go back and get
no
it.
No need to get into it now.
That's you sit down and watch two or three at a time, and you like it.
I think you
get a kick out of it.
I got Mad Men coming back
Ooh.
In about a month for the last season, but they broke it up into two.
Okay.
So it is the last season. I think it's going to be like 6 episodes, and then like a year later, 6 more episodes or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really...
Are they milking it?
They're with the cow and the milk and the udder and the milk and the cow. Yeah, but I am extraordinarily pumped for Mr. Draper and his return. But I will watch True Detective when Teresa returns.
That just finished its run
right.
past weekend, right?
Right. Only 8 episodes, I believe.
A lot of people loved it.
We watched the pilot. Holy moly!
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Where do you stand on Louis?
I loved. When is that back?
May.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've been waiting. Love. I thought the last season was...
Brilliant.
Yeah, artistically through the roof.
Took a year off. He's been gone for 2 years now.
Yeah, he had to.
Yeah.
That would have been a tough one to follow up like a year later.
Well, you've heard him on interviews and podcasts that he controls everything about
yep.
that show.
Every aspect.
Yep.
And has Final Cut. He edits
everything.
Editing. I mean, everything.
And it's just so wonderfully done.
Yeah, it's really good. He's an auteur, Cal.
He is. Modern day Fellini.
The modern day Felicity.
That's the American.
Cal, final on them.
And very simple. Welcome to New York, Eric Decker. And your pregnant wife, Jesse James Decker. You're a singer. I don't know anything that you sing, but welcome to New York. Very happy to have you, and hopefully it's just the start of really improving this team for next year.
And my final unload is there was something else celebrating its 25th anniversary this week, and that's a show that is very near and dear to my heart. That's Tony and Tina's Wedding. And there is a new cast, Tony and Tina's Wedding. It's reopening and for the 25th anniversary, and I was lucky enough to be a member of the Road Company, the Broadway series, back when I was 24 years old, about 812 years ago. And Tony and Tina's Wedding and being in that cast is a very sort of kind of cool thing. You become a member of the family. It's a show like no other. And so I want to wish this current cast good luck. Enjoy it. And we had a saying that goes back to 1989. It's not break a leg, Cal. It's kick the effing doors in. That's what you say before a Tony and Tina show. So, all right, we'll be back next week for the Bishop of Pop Culture, PJ, and Brian Calvey. Check us out on Stitcher. Check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe. Subscribe. See you next week. Bye, Cal.
Bye, Steve.
Hey, good night.
Good night.
Good night. I said goodnight.
Okay, go ahead. You can go now.
Good day, sir. Up, the child's awake. Goodnight.
Go get him.